The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Therefore, we will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, back in 2004, there was a documentary movie called Super Size Me. In this movie, the main character decided to eat only McDonald's food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 30 days. And during those 30 days, he ate every single item on the McDonald's menu. And every time they asked him if he wanted his meal to be supersized, he had to say yes. And at the end of those 30 days, his health had changed. He gained 24 pounds. His cholesterol level rose dramatically. He experienced mood swings, and he also went through other physical changes. Now, I don't bring this up to encourage you to do the same thing, nor am I saying it's wrong if you ever eat McDonald's food. The reason I bring it up is the reason why this man did this. He wanted to show people just how unhealthy fast food can be and how fast food can damage your health and your body. He was warning the people that if you live this way and constantly eat this food, this will happen. In essence, he took the phrase, "You are what you eat," to the extreme. But this morning, we don't focus on a physical diet. We focus on a spiritual diet. Your spiritual diet consists of you feeding on God's Word. And as you feed on God's Word becomes a part of you. It lives in you. And since God's Word has become a part of you, this is what makes you a prophet for God. Because a prophet is nothing more than a person who speaks God's message on God's behalf. But you can't be a good prophet unless you know what God's Word says. This is what Ezekiel needed when God called him to be a prophet. I know this morning we focus on the words of Ezekiel chapter 2, but allow me to bring you back to Ezekiel chapter 1. In that chapter, Ezekiel received a tremendous vision from God. He looked up and he saw a massive cloud full of lightning and fire. He saw angels flying around that massive cloud, and those angels had four different heads. One like a man, one like a lion, one like an ox, and one like an eagle. But not only did he see these angels flying in the air, he also saw a majestic throne. And seated upon that throne was God in his glory speaking to him. And when Ezekiel saw this, he fell face down to the ground. And this is where God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." Sounds like an easy command, doesn't it? He told Ezekiel, "Stand up." But notice that Ezekiel was not the one who caused himself to stand up. In fact, Ezekiel told us, "The Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." Why couldn't Ezekiel stand up? Why did the Spirit of God have to lift Ezekiel to his feet? It was because Ezekiel was in the presence of God in his glory, and no sinner can stand before God in all of his glory. And that's why time and time again here, God calls Ezekiel Son of Man. It was to remind Ezekiel that he was a descendant of Adam, who was the first man. And because of that, Ezekiel had inherited a sinful nature from Adam. That is why the Spirit and to lift Ezekiel up on his feet. But that is not the only thing that God did for Ezekiel. After God explained to Ezekiel what kind of mission he was going to do, and it wasn't going to be easy, Ezekiel might have thought to himself, how could I possibly do this? How could I possibly be a prophet for God if this is what it's going to take? But then Ezekiel looked up and he saw God hand him a scroll. And God said, Son of man, eat the scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. When Ezekiel tasted that scroll, it tasted as sweet as honey. And this is really surprising because remember what was written on that scroll. Ezekiel told us that it was a message of mourning, lament, and woe. You would expect that that scroll would have tasted bitter and sour in his mouth, but it tasted sweet. And why do you think that was? It tasted sweet because Ezekiel now had the exact words that God wanted him to share with the people. And since he had tasted God's word and it became a part of him, there was now nothing that was going to stop him to serve as God's prophet. He became what he ate. And it's the same thing with you. You are what you eat. God has called you to be his prophets. Remember what Paul told us this morning. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And Peter, in his first epistle, puts it this way. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You are to preach the word. You are to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. But you can't do that unless you are feeding upon God's word. Is that what you are doing? Let's put this into perspective. Physically, you could go a day, even a whole week, without eating food. But none of you would do that. So why is it when it comes to your spiritual diet, you might only be feeding upon God's word for 1 hour throughout the week? And you may say to yourself, well, I don't know where to start reading God's word. I don't know how much of God's word I should read each day. You can go online, and they will give you different schedules of how you can read God's word in a year. But do you make use of those schedules? When we have the meditations in the back of church, which provide a devotion that you can read for yourself, or that you can share with your family, do you pick up one of those meditations? Or do you just walk by thinking that you don't need devotions in your life? Or when you get the church newsletter, do you read the devotion that's in the front and meditate on it? Or do you simply just rip off the calendar for you to use and you throw the rest of the newsletter into the trash can? You are what you eat. Therefore, are you a Christian whose faith is fully nourished with God's word? Or are you a Christian whose faith is starving to feed on God's word? And no matter where you fall in that spectrum, God tells you to do this. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste the message of God's law and realize that you too are a son of man that needs forgiveness. But then taste the sweet message of the gospel and realize that Jesus Christ, the perfect son of man, has lived, died, and rose again to give you that forgiveness. And as you feed upon God's word, This will make you ready to preach the word. This will make you be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. This is what happened for Ezekiel. After Ezekiel tasted the message of God's word and it became a part of him, God said, "Go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." But the mission that God was sending Ezekiel to do was not going to be easy. For he described the Israelites in this way: "The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. They are a rebellious house." The Israelites had been rebelling against God for centuries. During the Exodus, God proved that he had the power to fight for his people and to protect them. But they refused to trust in him. While they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God provided food for his people every day. And yet they refused to be satisfied and they grumbled against God. And when they chased after false gods to worship them, God sent his prophets to bring them back to him, but they refused to listen. And now at this time, when God was calling Ezekiel to be his prophet, the people were in exile because of their sins, and yet they still refused to turn away from them. You would think that by now God would want nothing to do with these people, but he loved them. He did not want them to die in their sins, for God does not delight in the death of the wicked. And so he sent Ezekiel to preach his word to them. But notice that God does not tell Ezekiel that he would always be successful in his ministry. He told Ezekiel, whether they listen or fail to listen, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them. You must speak my words to them. God told Ezekiel, there will be people that will not listen to your message. But Ezekiel's job was simply to speak God's word to them so that they would know a prophet had been sent among them. And he told Ezekiel, do not be afraid of them and do not be terrified of what they will say. And God has called you to do the same thing. As you have filled yourself with God's word, you now want to share that word with others so that they too can be filled with God's word. And God tells you not to be afraid of them. But are you afraid of what people will say to you? Are you afraid that when you share God's word with them, they will become defensive? And they will say to you, who do you think you are? You're not perfect either. You don't always practice what you preach. In fact, some of the things that you are telling me are wrong. I know you have committed them as well. Or are you afraid that once people know what church you belong to and what synod you belong to, they might go on the offense and start attacking you by saying, I know what church you belong to. I know what your church believes. Your church puts down women because you don't allow them to vote in your church and you don't allow women to become pastors. Your church does the unloving thing by not allowing everyone to come up to have Holy Communion. Your church has this backward ancient view of marriage that it's only between one man and one woman. Or that if a couple is living together before they are married, they are committing a sin. And your church believes that a loving God will send people to hell. Are you ashamed of this? Are you afraid of what people will say to you? Don't be, for you are what you eat. You have tasted the very words of Christ, which has made you a Christian. And therefore, since you are a Christian, you will share in the sufferings of Christ. For people took offense at Jesus. They were offended by him because they knew he was a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. And therefore, they did not believe in him. But this did not stop Jesus Christ from preaching God's word to the people, whether they will listen or not. And even though Paul told us this morning that people will not listen to the truth, instead they will listen to only what they want to hear, Paul still told you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Therefore, don't be afraid of what people will say to you. Do not let this stop you from preaching God's word. Simply preach the word, whether they listen or not. And there will be people that will be rebellious, stubborn, and obstinate, and they will not listen to your message. But who knows that there may be others who will realize a prophet is among them, and they will listen to what you preach. I mean, you see that throughout all of Scripture. Not everyone listened to the prophet Elijah. And he thought he was the only one left. But God assured him that 7,000 people still believed. Not everyone listened to the prophet Ezekiel. But in time, those who were in exile repented of their sins and believed in God. And not everyone listened to the prophet, Jesus Christ. But even those who killed Jesus repented of their sins and were baptized. And who knows how God may bless you as you continue to serve as his prophet. But no matter what happens, continue to be what you eat. Fill yourselves with God's word and let God's word become a part of you as it moves you to preach the word. And be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, which is found in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find in your pew.